Good to see you this morning. Good morning.
Morning, Dusty.
Try it one more time. Good morning.
Good morning, Dusty.
You know what I like to hear? Let's hear that. Good morning.
Good morning,
St. Dusty. Glad to see you today. We welcome you today. Hey, what do you think heaven's going to look like? It's going to look like somebody kicked over an anthill of joy. And that's kind of what we got going on here this morning. We thank God for that. It's good to see you today. Good to see Anthony here today. Anthony Rogers. He needs to get delivered from barbershop quartet music this week. He is about to drive his wife crazy listening to YouTube videos. Make sure you pray for him today. We welcome you today. If this is your first time coming with us, fill out that little card. We promise not to camp out on your doorstep or anything like that. And if you've changed your email address, which some of y'all do that on a monthly basis, let us know about that. I hope, how many of you are tuning in on Thursday since we did the video prayer time? Okay, please, please like that and share that and send that to others. Because what you're doing, you're helping me contact some of my friends all over the world. I didn't know we had some of the same friends. That has definitely turned out to be a good thing for us. So make sure you do that. Where's Jason in here? All right, baseball camp. Baseball camp's coming up second weekend of November. So put that on your calendar. We're going to need your slave labor at that time. All the things that are going to go on that weekend, it's going to be a great time. And Kathy, where are you? Kathy, you got a microphone already. Brother Dane is, they have arrived in India. And?
They finally arrived at 4 a.m. after many hiccups and long lines that they were exhausted. So I asked him this morning, I said, do you have a word for the church? And he said, just pray for protection, favor with the people here in wisdom. And as you know, their interpreter died the week before they were supposed to leave. So his daughters have stepped in and brought a friend who is male. So I don't know if you know much about India, but I'm thinking the male is there to kind of lessen that it's females helping them. But their fourth team member arrived about an hour ago, and they were going to dinner to finally meet with him and kind of iron out what they're doing tomorrow to start their day, and they'll be studying the Book of Romans. So just keep them in your prayers and keep me in your prayers.
70 pastors they're going to be training. This network that Brother Albert, who passed away, his wife passed away in her 40s in March, and he was 48, and he dropped dead with a heart attack. He had started a movement of house churches that's up to 200,000 people. Now, these 70 pastors are part of that network that they're going to be training. So as we pray today, let's join Kathy in these prayers. Prayers for wisdom and discernment, protection, because the enemy would like to kill this movement. But God is bigger. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your blessings to us. We do join together in praying for Pastor Dane, Brother Doug, and all the team that are there. Lord, we do pray You'll give them discernment, protection over them, Lord. Give them wisdom about how they should go about things, Lord. I pray You'll grant favor to them that in every way, Lord. I thank You for what You've already accomplished as they were ministered there in Italy on the way over. And now in India, God, I pray You'll just go before them this week and may it be a wonderful time and a joyous time in the Lord. Now, Lord, we bring You today. Thank You for gathering us here, for the blessing that is ours, be a part of the family of God, be part of the forever family. Lord, let us live it out. Let us worship in spirit and truth today, and let us hear Your word. Hear what You have to say to us. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and greet one another.
We use expressions like don't get the cart before the horse, or keep the main thing the main thing. I use them a lot. I don't know about you. I talk to a lot of students. I'll say things like that to them. You know, our insinuation whenever you use expressions like that is that basically there's some kind of order or priority that's important to acknowledge in life. Certain things are more important than other things. Certain things need to be done before other things are done. If we don't keep those priorities straight, then what happens a lot of times is the outcome that we are trying to get usually ends up in chaos or havoc or some other kind of problem, even waste. Of all the phrases that we have talked about over the last few weeks to describe who we are, and that's what we're doing in this series, we're talking about phrases that we've come up with sort of describe us that have to do with what we believe God's made us to be like, our own uniqueness as a congregation. The one that we're going to talk about today, I think, strikes at the heart of our culture and our hearts. And it's simply this: form follows function. Now you got to think about that for a few minutes. When we look at what makes us who we are, we've got to accept a simple fact, and that is that God is much more concerned with our function than He is concerned with the forms that we adopt. I'm going to explain, and that's what I'm going to spend my time today doing. And I'm going to start by giving you a couple of examples to launch us out. The first example is that of David, and the second example will be that of Paul. So, John, let's pop up that first passage up there. Let's look at the life of David for just a minute. Because the truth is, form follows function in the purpose and the living of our lives. In Samuel 17, verses 33 through 37, the record is this. It says, "Then Saul, who was king at the time, said to David, 'You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him.'" This is whenever David was a very young man, young boy. "For you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from its mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. And the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" So that's David when he was but a young man, before he grabbed his stones and slung them at Goliath. Let's go to the next. Later on, we find this happening after David was victorious over Goliath. It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, do you see the contrast? Who went to meet the giant? Who didn't go meet the giant? We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's go to the second example. We're going to look at Paul for just a minute. In Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 48, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue in, if I remember, it was Pisidian Antioch, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, We had to speak the Word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Now here's two examples, two different people, David and Paul. What do we want to say about David and Paul? Next screen, please. All right, I forgot. For this is what Paul said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed. Because Paul did what he was supposed to do. Now here's the deal. As we look at this and we look at form follows function in the purpose and the living of our lives, let's make a couple of observations. Number one, David acted kingly before he was ever made king. He was a little guy. He was the one who had the determination and the knowledge that he could defeat that Philistine. He did it with a sling and a few stones. He did not want to use the armor that the king tried to put on him. David was, his heart was that of a king long before anybody ever realized he was the king. Form follows function. The problem, Saul had been made king. He did not have a king's heart. And it was clear he did not have the king's heart. He had the position, but he did not have the people's heart, nor did God have his heart. David, it was all lined up. God had his heart, he had the people's heart, but the reality is David was king because he acted like the king, even though it was years before he had the actual role of king. Secondly, we look at Paul. Paul preached to the Gentiles before the folks in Jerusalem ever said, oh yeah, we think that's okay, you can go do that. He had the conviction, he had the certitude that if the Jews were the ones he was going to first, did not respond, and the Gentiles were responding to the Word of God, he was going to preach it. And then he went back to Jerusalem and said, this is what God's doing. And they said, you're right, God is doing this. He didn't go to them for permission first. He saw what God was doing, and he preached to them, and then he went and told them. And they said, yep, you're right. That's to their credit. But Paul preached to the Gentiles before the apostles ever approved it. So what will we learn from this? We live the Jesus life before anyone knows that we live for Him. That is the call. That is the thing that we are supposed to do. We are supposed to live the life before anybody knows we have the life. If we will do that, it's form follows function. Function first. We belong to Him. We live the life. The form comes later. We're not worried about that because God takes care of it. So let's move on. Oh, let me say this. You ever heard of a guy named Augustine? Okay, very famous saying by Augustine. He said this, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Form follows function. Function first. So God's unveiling who we are. We see this in the life of these people. It begins with us being grounded in God's purpose for us. That's the function. We were created to know God. We're created to worship Him. And we're created to work to live His life. That's why Jesus said He sent the Holy Spirit so that we would live the life that Jesus led more and more every day. We would become more and more in His likeness every day. Everything flows out of who we are. And that's why we talked a couple of weeks ago, I did, about being overdoing. We talk about being who we're supposed to be before we even think about trying to do anything in Jesus' name. Because if we start focusing on doing, then we think doing is what is more important to God. And that's not true. It's who we are. You ever heard the song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love"? They know that we're Christians by our love. They know that we're Christians by our grace. They know we are Christians by how we forgive. They know we are Christians because we're courageous. They know we are Christians. And you can keep filling in the blank. Love is a choice. Somewhere in our culture, love was devalued. It was made a feeling. It's been described as this warm, fluttery thing. But I'm going to tell you, anybody who really loves knows that love is about choosing to care. It's about choosing to empathize. It's about choosing to forgive. It's about choosing to be committed. Love is not a warm fuzzy. It's not a feeling. It's a choice that we make. So when we hear those words, they'll know we are Christians by our love. It's saying so much more than just, they'll know we're Christians because we like each other. Form follows function. The function is, we were created to know Him. We were created to love as He loves. And then everything else flows out of who we are. Our function is what's important. All right, now we can move on. What makes us who we are, form follows function, is an alignment. It's true for the alignment of the way God has ordered His body as well, the people of God. In Ephesians 4, we find Paul writing this. He said, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Nothing left out. That's His plan for us. So, if form follows function in the alignment of God's body, we see a couple of things that we need to understand. Go on to the next one. The leaders that God gives and gives to the church are given to serve God's purpose and plan. All those people that Paul listed, the reason why God gifted them, the reason why God gave them to the church was so that God's purpose, His function, would be accomplished. Next. The church can look like whatever it must, but its purpose never changes. Third. The function is that we all become more like Jesus, individually and together. Now, how do I know this? If you look at the church in China, and you look at the church in Russia, and you look at the church in Savannah, Georgia, and you look at the church in Chile, the churches in any of those nations do not look the same. But they all have leaders. They all have teachers. They all have people who are shepherding. There are people doing all those things, but none of those look the same. In fact, even in our country, none of those look the same from city to city, from denomination to denomination, congregation to congregation. The form has got to follow the function. The function is that we're all to be growing up in Jesus. And God gives leaders in the church for that to happen. It's not that it's dictated the shape or the form has to look a certain way. It's that these people are accomplishing this function. The form follows the function. It's secondary to the function. Third thing. Form follows function, too, in the ways that we share the message about Jesus. Let's look at a story from Acts. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. They were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there is a resurrection of the dead. And you'll notice that this is the sticking point almost every time anybody talked to the Sadducees and Pharisees, was the resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, jailed them until the morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. so that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So if form follows function in the ways that we share the message of Jesus, what do we learn from this? Think about it. Second example. Let's move on. Acts 21 through 28. And yes, you're going to get the Rick Smith paraphrased version of these chapters, because there's no way I could read all these chapters. So let me tell you quickly. Let's work through the list. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem in spite of his innocence and doing everything right. He knew that he was going to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was coming. He knew if he went to Jerusalem, he was going to get arrested. He knew it. He knew he might die. He went anyway, because it was what he was supposed to do. So, because he went to Jerusalem, even if his life was in peril, he told a story and he preached before all these people. Countless Roman soldiers of all ranks, the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem, Felix the governor of Judea and his wife Drusilla, Porcius Festus the governor of Judea, Agrippa king of Judea and his wife Bernice, people on the ship to Rome and the island of Malta along his journey to Rome after he had appealed to Caesar, and then many unknown people that we will never know of, as he was in house arrest in Rome for 2 years. If he had not gone to Jerusalem, knowing that his life was in peril, none of that would have happened. Now, how many of you and me would have made that decision? Would have said, our function is this, we don't care what happens. But if we don't do what we know we're supposed to do, all the other stuff doesn't happen. Form follows function, even in the way that we share. Not one of us want bad things to happen in our lives. Not one of us want anything to happen that makes us uncomfortable. None of us want anything to happen that in any way gets in our way. But guess what? God's purpose is not that we always be comfortable or safe or even well. His purpose, His function in our lives, is that we trust Him. And we will find, if we will trust Him in the middle of whatever we find ourselves, that there is a way that He will demonstrate His power, that He will reveal Himself, and that He has purposes that go far beyond our small, myopic view that says, I have to be okay. I don't have to be okay. My favorite quote from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, it's not about me. Sometimes bad things happen to me in order for God's purpose to be accomplished. Because that's the time when things get over my head, out of my control, and there needs to be a God-sized intervention that people will see God doing. If it's not God and I'm doing it all the time, all they ever see is you and me doing things that you and me can do. Does this make sense? It has to be over our pay grade so that God shows up and people see God. Or else it's just you and me having fun manipulating everything and getting the glory. In the ways that we share the message about Jesus, there's a couple of things we need to talk about. Number one, these are situations that most people would not look forward to. Neither you or I want to get arrested because we're preaching the resurrection of Jesus. Number two, most of us would never want to get drug across half the known world in order to go from one part of the world to another part of the world because somebody's accused us of the very same thing, that we are preaching or living this life. The truth is, the message never changes, but the places and the methods and the media can. We live in a world today where technology is changing all the time. I mean, 15 years ago, text was not a verb. Okay? Now we're all texting people. Okay? We're all Facebooking people. Those are verbs now that didn't exist 15 years ago. We can see something going on somewhere on the other side of the world via FaceTime. We can talk to somebody that it used to take months, if not years, to get a message from. It happens like that. Technology has changed the world. And guess what? If somebody really does figure out how to blow up one of those bombs over our heads that destroys our electrical grid, we are in serious trouble. Because we are addicted as a culture. The message never changes, but the methods and the places and the media can. We can use text messaging, we can use video, we can use podcast, we can use Facebook, we can pray on our knees, we can watch videos in TV videos on screens during worship that challenge us. We can sing songs out of a hymn book, we can sing songs on a projector. That's form. Function is what is important. The message and the one carrying the message has got to be functional. Is this making sense? Our responsibility as we look at the message and then the forms through which we make use or adopt to share that message is that we make sure that the integrity of the story, the integrity of the message is in no way compromised as we adopt whatever forms it takes for us to communicate. So sometimes it means we get arrested and we get to communicate. Sometimes it means we get invited to the big party and we get to communicate. Sometimes it means that we get to do something on TV and we get to communicate who we are, what God has done. It happens many, many different ways. But whatever the form, the message, that function that we were created for has got to be held with the highest integrity. All right. Which brings me to the last point. And that is form follows function because function is more important than form. Instead of starting there, I figured I'd finish there. So let's look at Acts 5, 41 and 42. Again, another story. Actually, the end of a story. The apostles, who had been arrested because they were preaching Jesus, left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and in their homes, they continued to teach and preach this message. The Messiah you are looking for is Jesus. So, because function is more important than form, let's go to the next slide, please. We must embrace the message as more important than any method or even ourselves. Getting stuck on form is religion. Getting stuck on form is religion. We begin to worship the form, not the one that we are supposed to be worshiping that causes us to have a function in life, an important function. Living as a function of our relationship with God brings life. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It's about function, not form. Forms change. And forms are flexible. We've already talked about that. German bar tunes were cool for hymns for hundreds of years. And yes, many of the hymns we used to sing whenever we were younger in church were bar tunes that they put holy words to. Okay, let's get over it. That's the truth. Forms follow function. We can't let the forms become what we worship. So we have to be flexible and we have to change and make sure we hold to the integrity of the message so the function does not get held in disrepute. And the purpose for our lives never changes either. Just like Jesus said, I am the same yesterday and today and forever. So when I come to the end today, and I look at form follows function, I have this to ask you. Did you come here today for a form? Were you pursuing a form? Were you looking for a form? Or did you come to find somewhere in our time here today before God a breath of life? A breath of life. Something that will fill you. Something that will move you through your week so that you know you have purpose. That you know you are in touch with something more than just waking up in the morning, punching a clock, going through a pattern day after day. Something that reminds you that God is at work in you and that He is here for you and that there's a function you are made for. So close your eyes. Close your eyes. Breathe in. Exhale everything you got. And then take one really big breath in. And hold it there for a minute. And then let it out. And practice it again. And keep doing it. And remember that that's a great symbol. God wants us to be before Him, to worship Him, to breathe Him in, to let Him be the one who determines our purpose and our function in life. And He will take care of the forms. Because what's important is our hearts. What's important is who we are. What's important to Him is that we are living the message. We come today to the end of our time together. Today I do want Gary, if you'd come up. He's going to play something in the background. And if all you need to do is sit there and breathe, you sit there and breathe. But as you breathe, do it thoughtfully and prayerfully. And you can use those cards if there's something that you need, something you want to give to God. Maybe it's you need to ask Him for forgiveness. Maybe it's you need to forgive someone else. Maybe it's you have an intercessory need that you're praying for somebody else. You got a burden. Whatever it might be, use those cards. Because we'll pray with you about those things. But if there's something else this morning, Dusty will be up here. I'll be up here. We'll be happy to pray with you. But if you just need to sit and breathe, you just sit and breathe too. That's fine. Father God, I pray today that we will focus on our purpose. And that, Lord, we'll be a lot less concerned about the forms in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to hold on with white knuckles the forms in our lives, but that, Lord, we would pursue you with everything that we are. And that we would let that drive everything we do. Lord, we thank you that you are available to us. You have promised that. And that, Lord, you have made us to know you and worship you and live the life that Jesus died for us to have. Help us to breathe in your Spirit and live that life. Attitude of prayer. Baskets are in back and up here in front. You have a offering, or if you would like to place your card in the basket, you can do that now. Okay, I have a task I have to accomplish. Becky, hand up. Wrist down. We've loved Becky and John and the brothers for a couple of years now since they've been with us, and now we get to love on Paul too. So we're excited for what's going on there as they are launching out. All right, we're gonna be dismissed. Let's stand. We'll pray quickly. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, your joy. Lord, thank you for purpose that lasts as long as we have breath. go with us and let us be your hands and feet as we go into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.